You know, for a long time, I meant to try Pete's Coffee, but just never gave it a chance. But ever since I did, I have a hard time settling on anything less.
And there's something to say about a coffee company with such rich history and devotion to bring you that perfect brew.
Since Alfred Pete opened his first coffee bar in 1966, Pete's has selectively sourced the finest beans in the world, carefully calibrating each roast by hand and crafting each beverage with the utmost care.
Pete's aims to produce fresh from the roaster's coffee delivered directly to your door, sourcing the top 1% of coffee beans, roasted by hand to unlock each bean's potential, and delivering it to you fresh to bring you the perfect cup.
With over 30 flavor varieties in both gourmet coffees and teas, like Vietnam Lotus Bold, Major Dickinson's Blend, and Arabian Mocha Java, you are sure to find the right flavor to start your day. And they even come in K-Cups for those of you who live life on the go.
Check out all the varieties of Pete's has to offer by following the link in the show notes below.
And starting August 30th, you can take advantage of their Labor Day sale and get yourself 20% off anything on their site by using promo code LABORDAY20 at checkout. This offer is valid through September 5th. That's promo code LABORDAY20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase this Labor Day.
But why not do one better? Use promo code NEWSUB30 at checkout and you get yourself 30% off of a new subscription to Pete's Coffee. That's right. All the delicious coffee you could want delivered right to your door each and every month without you ever having to worry about running low. What more could you ever need? That's promo code NEWSUB30 for 30% off your subscription.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Grindhouse, where we drink coffee and talk about movies. My name is Leah Diana, and today, with my boyfriend and co-host, Sean Tatro, we will be winding back the reel to 1994. When a man inadvertently makes Santa fall off the roof on Christmas Eve, he finds himself magically recruited to take his place in The Santa Claus. Let's get into it.
It was the night before Christmas, and children were dreaming of the presents Santa would bring.
Somebody's on the roof.
But this Christmas Eve...
Hey, you!
The unthinkable happened.
You killed him!
Did not.
Now, this night...
If something should happen to me, put on my suit, the reindeer will know what to do.
It's up to them...
Let's go!
...to save the day. Together, Scott Kelvin and his son Charlie take on the biggest job in the world.
Looking good, Dad.
And though it has its dangers...
Nice teeth.
He thought it was just for one night.
You're the new Santa.
I am not Santa Claus.
Ah. You put on the suit, you're the big guy.
What if I don't buy into this Santa Claus thing?
Then there would be millions of disappointed children around the world.
He doesn't want the job.
It was a dream.
But it's growing on him.
I've gained 45 pounds in a week.
Now he's getting into the spirit.
There are a lot of kids that believe in you. I want some ballet slippers.
And getting ready for the biggest night of his life.
How could I have done this without you, Charlie?
You couldn't.
Walt Disney presents a timeless tale that will warm your heart.
I love you, Santa Claus.
I love you, son.
Lift your spirits and make you believe.
You really are Santa Claus.
Pretty cool, huh?
Share the merriment and the magic.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Tim Allen.
Santa?
The Santa Claus.
Spread the word, you dirty cocksuckers. Tell all your grave robbing friends I want them out of the city now!
The nightmare of insane murder.
From the depths of hell.
The Grindhouse.
a very serious question.
I might have a serious answer.
Do you think there is a big majority of people who have not seen this movie?
I think yes, considering there are younger audiences who probably weren't shown it or just have never bothered to watch it.
Do you think this is our Miracle on 34th Street?
I think it could be a contender for sure.
If Miracle on 34th Street was the one in the 50s or 60s, 40s, I forget. It was in that 20-year span time. That was huge. It was the biggest Christmas movie. And I think they redid it with, who's the girl, Matilda? Oh, my God. Little girl.
Yeah, I don't remember the actress's name.
It's flashing in my head because she was in a lot of, like, movies when we were kids. She was in the remake in, like, the 90s, I think. But I don't really remember this. I remember this one. When this came out, I was 9. And to this day, this movie still makes me cry.
This movie's never made me cry.
But it makes me upset that I hate Christmas.
Well, watching it now, because let's be fair, I haven't seen this since I was a kid.
Mm.
But I always remembered it. And watching it now, it definitely hits harder as an adult.
It hurts a little more, doesn't it?
It hurts a little more.
Does it hurt more as a child of divorce?
For me, no, because my parents split up after we were already adults.
My parents split up when I was a teenager. Like, I was 17, 18 years old when they split up. But my brother and sister were Charlie's age.
But I think it does ring closer to home, knowing what the things I know as an adult.
Yeah. Does this movie make you want to believe in Santa Claus and the spirit of Christmas?
To some degree, but I think I want to get into that a little later.
Okay.
So, this week for our last episode of 2022.
Our last movie of 2022.
Because we have one more episode coming that
we'll talk about a little later.
Yep. But we watched The Santa Claus. It's, as you said, the 1994 American Christmas comedy film was written by Leo Benvenuti, I think is how you say his name, and Steve Rudnick. It's directed by John Pasquin. Stars Tim Allen, Judge Reinhold, Wendy Crewson, David Krumholtz, and Peter Boyle. This movie originally released November 5th, 1994 in Hollywood, November 11th, 94 everywhere else, and it was made on a budget of $22 million, but ended up grossing a box office of $190.3 million.
If I remember, this is one of the biggest Christmas movies that has ever come out in the 90s.
Yeah, so much so that it received very positive reviews from critics. It became a Christmas time staple for many people. And it also spawned several sequels. Santa Claus 2 in 2002, The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause in 2006, and very recently,
simulcast, there's only 2 episodes out as of right now
of The Santa Clauses.
Yep, on Disney Plus.
Which is like a Disney Plus series.
It actually just premiered this week as of recording. So
it's kind of funny we're doing this movie now.
As of this release coming out, the Santa Clauses will be over with. But when we're recording, just to preface, like, it's only got 2 episodes. We don't plan on watching it because we're not Christmas people. But there is a kind of selfish reason why. Oh, my God. I'm getting emotional. This movie does this to me. There's kind of a selfish reason why I wanted to watch this movie.
Go on.
Oh,
she's going
God.
To cry.
I am. I hate Christmas. I've hated it for years. I have my personal reasons. Christmas just isn't. Christmas changes when you become an adult. It's not the same as when you're a kid. And I have fond memories of Christmas. I do. You know, my aunt and uncle used to come over. My aunt and uncle on my dad's side. They came over. We'd open presents. We'd have a great day. Over the years, Christmas became sour. Like I said, I'm a child of divorce. But my parents divorced when I was a teen. You know, later teens. So I had had my Christmases. But I watched my brother and sister kind of start to not like Christmas either. You have the, you're going to your dad's or you're going to your mom's fight. You have the, you know, dad has a new family, mom has a new family thing. You know, it becomes less about what am I getting for Christmas and more about I wish my family was still together. And I know my mom listens to the podcast. My dad might someday. But I have selfish reasons why I hate Christmas. Because I watched it kind of like that spirit's gone. I don't have that spirit of Christmas. And I wish I did. Because watching this movie, you get this like spirit. You get like, I want to put up a tree. I want to put presents under it. I want to do this stuff. But life is... Oh my God, how many, can somebody get a count of how many times I've cried on this fucking podcast?
No, I think you make a good point. I think this movie, it does a really good job capturing that idea that we don't, as adults, the majority of humanity doesn't maintain that meaning that Christmas had spirit. At one point.
It's not, what presents can I get? It's not, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. Or no, it's, I want that feeling again.
Yeah.
And as adults, and everybody listening can just ignore the emotions. I'm an emotional person. Everybody knows it. But I miss that feeling. And my friends who were huge Christmas people, my friend Jess loves Christmas, huge Christmas person. She started sending me gifts November 1st. It's Christmas time to fuck all your Halloween shit. It's Christmas time, you know. I've always been a firm believer of Christmas doesn't start until after Santa comes through in the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving. That's when Christmas can start. You know, let the turkey have his time. When Santa passes by, now it's Christmas time. I'd have this big ceramic Christmas. My mom had this big ceramic Christmas tree, and we light the Christmas tree when Santa passed by. There's all little traditions that as you get older, you don't have these traditions anymore. Like you and I, we don't like Christmas. We don't have Christmas traditions. We also have not had time to establish Christmas traditions because one, our apartment is fucking microscopic.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to put Christmas stuff in here. Two,
we can barely decorate for Halloween.
I know. Like, we have Halloween stuff out, but I leave it out all year long. Like, if I were to put all my Halloween stuff out away and put out Christmas stuff, I have enough. But that spirit, that feeling's not there anymore. It's completely gone. Two, I moved in right when the pandemic was happening in September of 2020. So, like, we've not had time to establish. We've been trying to catch up with life that we don't have. To me, Christmas is about, hey, it's spending time with people and being around loved ones. And I don't know, my dad lives in Florida with his wife and my youngest sister and my two stepsisters. You know, my mom lives with her husband, my stepfather, and her father. You know, my sister has her own family. My brother lives with my sister, but, you know, he has his own life. And as you get older, you try to embrace that whole Christmas spirit with your family, you know, your own family. But I feel like the last 3 or 4 years, there's been like hit after hit of life just punching everybody down that I have no love lost for Christmas ever again. Like, I can't stand it. This time of year comes around and I get more and more emotional because it's like I want to love Christmas, and this movie's the only thing that still, like, I secretly watch this movie every year because, like, it makes me feel like I did when I watched it when I was a kid. Now it's like I'm looking around going, maybe I can put Christmas lights over there. Maybe I can put a tree. Like, it gives me that feeling. And I didn't understand the whole, like, divorce situation when I was a kid. And I didn't understand, like, any of that plot until I became older and I went through, you know, a divorce as a child. You know, I've never been married. I will never be married.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you and I will not deal with. We have our own reasons why marriage is not for us. But it's more painful to watch those scenes now. So for a while, I didn't watch it. Like, for maybe like 4 or 5 years, I was like, no, the Santa Claus is stupid because, like, it ruins people's lives. Yeah, like 20-year-old Leah had problems, you know, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. but I wanted to pick this one because this is the spirit of Christmas to me. This gets back to, you know, the main reason why Christmas is a big deal to a lot of people. It's because of the meaning of spending time with loved ones, seeing their faces when you got them something that they wanted or something that you didn't even know they wanted, you know, making a meal, spending time with people, you know, that's what I want from Christmas. I could care less about the presents. I could care less about commercialism. I want to put up little lights on a tree and hang out with my friends and family and maybe put this movie on and trash it, because there are some elements of this movie that are fucking horrible. Let's be honest. I censored myself. Maybe it's because it's a Disney movie. It was not originally a Disney movie. I remember that. Or was it? Was this always a Disney movie?
I think, yeah. Based on some of the stuff I'm reading,
Buena Vista. It was owned by Buena Vista Pictures, which was a subsidiary of Disney, but back then it was not Disney yet. So I wrote no notes for this movie, obviously, because I know this one pretty well.
I wrote very few.
Yeah. And this one's not going to be anything like last week's movie.
No.
This movie is, I wouldn't say a timeless classic, because it's not exactly 20 years old yet. It's not there. I don't think timeless needs to be like a couple decades, in my opinion.
No, but it is one that people go back to.
Always. Like me. I hate Christmas. I go back to this movie because the scene where the ex-wife is questioning, are we doing the right thing? Are we sure we should be doing this? Like, watching her struggle as an adult, like, you realize, like, you have to make these adult decisions, like, for the good of your family, for the good of your child.
Yeah.
And you have to think back to, like, when you were a child, like, you think, oh, were my parents doing the same thing? Were they internally struggling with these, like, adult decisions that I never knew about it? And that's one of the things when I was a kid and I asked my parents, like, I don't understand this. And they're like, oh, no, it's something you're not going to experience. Cut to a decade later. Yeah, we experienced it, you know? A decade later, my parents divorced. Like, it was weird, you know? But enough about my family. I'm going to get a call after this episode from my mother. You're crying on a podcast because of me? Yeah, I am. Well, again.
I think a good place to start is just talking a little bit about the background of this movie.
Yes.
In general. So, like, I think it's worth noting that for 1 week in November of 1994, Tim Allen had the number one movie in the box office, the number one rated television show,
Home Improvement,
and the number one New York Times best-selling book.
Oh, his autobiography. Is,
Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man.
Yep. Tim Allen was the man in 94.
He was. And his career has since dropped off quite a bit.
Well, I don't. I also have to say, like, it dropped off, but we don't do politics on this.
No.
We don't do politics on here, but I find amusement from Last Man Standing. That's his newer sitcom.
I have not seen that one.
He's a gun-toting Republican owns a, like, kind of like a Bass Pro type of shop.
Mm.
And he has daughters that are very much the other side of political. And it's kind of like a family life thing. Almost like Home Improvement, but for a different generation.
Yeah.
I watched the first, I think, 3 seasons of it religiously. I like Tim Allen. I always have liked Tim Allen. Side note, I did not know Tim Allen's real name is Timothy Allen Dick.
Tim Dick.
So instead of being called Mr. Dick, he wanted to be called Mr. Allen. I think he made a good choice.
Oh, yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him. Nobody wants to be known as Mr. Dick other than Andy Dick.
This was his first leading film role.
I remember this was a big deal. Like, he didn't know if he wanted to do this.
The role of Scott Calvin was initially written for Bill Murray.
Oh, no. And Bill Murray's too much of an asshole for this part.
After reading the script, he declined it because he said he felt it didn't fit his humor, which I agree.
I honestly agree. I can see the little quips that Alan was making where it would have been funny in the beginning with Bill Murray. But when it got to the end, no, you always see Bill Murray in Scrooged.
Yeah.
That's, to me, he's Scrooge. He will not be
I feel like watching this movie, it's almost like, how could this not have been written for Tim Allen? Because so much of his performance in this feels like it's just a showcase for his humor.
This just popped in my head. Other comedians back in the 90s that could have done this. Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Bob Saget, I could have
seen. Because he already had the family man persona.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, God, no.
Really? I think Jeff Foxworthy would have been an interesting choice, but he still has that family man kind of humor.
It would have made like a whole different fucking movie.
It would have made more of a redneck feeling movie. Bill Engvall. I think he would have fit a little more in it.
All right.
Can you tell I like the blue collar comedy tour?
Yes.
It's the only like redneck kind of humor I like. What other comedians? Oh, speaking of comedians from the 90s, did you see that Gallagher passed away recently?
I did not.
The watermelon smashing comedian passed away in his like late 60s, early 70s.
Oh.
That definitely was a, no pun intended, blow to my heart. Because my mom saw Gallagher when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, wow.
And she got watermelon on her. So I've been hit with a watermelon via tummy. So, but it's one of those, like, I saw that and then watching this, it kind of, it hits you like right in the feels. Another one we saw was Bernard. David Krumholtz is making a reprise in the film. As well as Eric Lloyd, who plays Charlie.
You mean the series, right?
Yeah, sorry. Eric Lloyd is my age. He's going to be 37. And then Bernard is going to be 45. So like you said, when we were watching the movie, like, how are they going to play off? Like, in the film, Bernard is like in his early 20s.
In the first film.
He's in his early 20s,
but his character says that he's old.
He's very, very old. And I'm like, now you're 45, and he's seen some shit. I mean, he's been through life.
He looks decent for his age, but like,
how are they gonna write off that it's only been like 20 years? Why do you look like?
Why is the elf suddenly very much older?
I think I have. Maybe they might de-age him.
It's possible.
But the previews didn't have him de-age.
No,
so.
I think they're gonna just kind of explain it away, we age differently.
Oh, I did some coke. I'm an elf with a coke problem.
Started snorting tinsel.
Yeah, that just shit will wreck you, man. Look what it did to that jail cell.
Yeah.
Right? And then Eric Lloyd, who plays Charlie, is reprising Charlie, but Charlie is 36. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. I'm really glad he's reprising his role. I can't speak because I got emotional in the first 5 minutes and now I have a headache. So do you have any fun facts about this movie at all? Or were those?
There's plenty of a lot of little information throughout this. Like, there's a lot of little things that you can blink and miss it type of stuff. Like, some of the bigger ones are, when Laura's looking at the mystery date game, you can actually hear the jingle from the original commercials in the music.
That's what that jingle. I always thought that was like a little bell. Like, you can hear that.
No, that's from the original board game commercial.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
That during the montage towards the end, that little dance thing that Tim Allen does, that was all improvised.
Oh, yeah, when they're, give me all your money. Yeah.
That was improvised, but the director liked it, so he kept it in. Another one is that there is a hidden Mickey Mouse in this movie.
Where?
So, it is, what shot? I don't know what shot it is, but. Oh, so when Scott and Charlie are leaving the North Pole in the sleigh and they pass by the moon, in the moon there's a distinct shape of Mickey Mouse.
Oh, that's cool!
Which is cool. Let's see.
I'm obsessed with finding hidden Mickeys when I go to Disney, so.
There are several portraits in the Santa's bedroom of past Santas.
Mm.
And that you can miss it easily, but it's to show you that the role has changed hands many times before.
Yeah.
Making Santa this iconic figure that'll never go away.
It kind of brings around the whole feeling of Santa Claus is... So I remember when I stopped believing in Santa Claus, but I had to play like I still remembered because my siblings are, you know, a decade younger than me. So it became, my parents explained to me that Santa Claus is not real, but the spirit of him is.
Yeah.
Christmas and Santa are all about bringing that spirit and that hope. And with young children, you don't necessarily want to lie to young children, but I've always told my brother and sister growing up, like, you know, when they were like, Santa's not real, I'm like, Santa is real. It's just what you make of it. Like, anybody can be Santa Claus. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, somebody giving you a gift or, you know, somebody looking at you and be like, hey, are you okay? Do you need help? It's that spirit. So it was one of those things that I was like, you know.
I don't know how I never noticed this one.
Mm.
During the scene where they do the parents' day at school.
Yes.
One of the kids in the classroom is an elf. They very clearly have elf ears.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's very clear when he pulls out the snow globe, you can see the person.
Oh.
That's insane. That,
proof, as you said, they're among us.
And the elf is the only one who doesn't laugh at him.
Oh, the elf just sits there and is like, okay.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
Never noticed that. How many times I've seen this movie.
Like, now, next time I do watch this, I'm going to fucking look for all of this shit.
I'm going to make you watch this around Christmas time.
Oh, God.
Who listening wants to make me... backtrack a little bit better. Who out there wants to make me... make Sean watch the entire series because he's never seen the sequels, the two other movies.
I have not.
The second one's cute because Santa Claus has to find a Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, I know about them. But...
And the third one is Jack Frost Comes to Ruin His Day, who's played by Martin Short, who was really big back in like the mid-2000s, so it was kind of made sense.
So here's a... this one's kind of cool, I think.
Mm.
So, Tim Allen has a criminal record.
Okay.
And Disney is very strict on hiring people who are never hiring people who are ex-cons.
Yes.
They made an exception for this.
What was his criminal?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But I think it's kind of cool that they were willing to bend their rules and give him a shot. Because sometimes people have a record that's like not... anything bad. I'm guessing by your reaction, it was something bad.
October 2nd, 1978, Allen was arrested at Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport for possession of over 650 grams or 1.43 pounds of cocaine. He pleaded guilty to felony drug trafficking and provided the names of the other dealers. He served after serving 2 years and 4 months in federal correction institution in Sandstone, Minnesota. And then in 1998, after this movie came out, he was arrested in Birmingham, Michigan for being under the influence.
Holy shit. That's a pretty big thing to
forgive.
That is a
huge, huge...
How... There had to be some kind of, like, money changing hands or something for Disney to just... wash that under the rug.
I mean, that was back in 78. It's very different. Also,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but Tim Allen looks like my stepfather in that photo.
Look at that fucking stash.
Look at that
bud.
Stash, bro.
Whoa.
Yep. Wow.
That's kind of funny.
Damn. He's a car enthusiast. We're sitting here going, so? Did Last Man Standing just ended last year? Holy shit, how long was it on? 2011 to 2021. Oh my god, and he played Tim Taylor? He made a Home Improvement cameo. I gotta rewatch Last Man Stand. God damn. Alright, back to the movie. So, possession of cocaine. Not just like, oh, I got a baggie in my back pocket. Almost a pound and a half of coke.
I was expecting like, oh, he had weed on him or something.
Yeah, weed's not a big deal, but coke?
That's a bit, you know.
Damn, Disney.
You just let that one slide. Good job. You're killing it.
Well, Disney was a little more lax in the 90s, I guess. Not the powerhouse they are today. Somebody says something wrong on Twitter and they fire somebody on the spot.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. Let's not get into that. We're not going to talk political.
No.
No. I think we should get into the film. All right. So the movie opens with a typical Christmas party in the 90s with misogyny, adultery, and an ex-husband lying to his ex-wife about, you know, where he is.
Yeah, I thought that was funny that, like, they kind of, like, it was the 90s, so, like, the office politics were
in full force.
In full force. They don't sugarcoat the ideas of, like, the guys and their secretaries and all those little nuances.
Tim Allen takes the microphone from his female counterpart and is like, listen, we want to hear her talk. Like, he definitely shuts her down in the middle of her speech.
Yeah, I noticed that. I thought it was weird. I was like, what the fuck?
She's in the middle of something and he's like, look, here, this is what it really is. And she's like, and I'm like, this is, like, watching it now, I'm like, oh, no. And then he's like, oh, well, you know, Johnson's got his secretary on his lap. And I'm like, they really make that joke?
Well, she also gets to then be a judgmental Judy later on when he starts to pudge out.
Right? Oh, no, that was justified where she's like,
yeah,
a B, Scott? Look at a big B. I'm surprised she didn't go, you're fat and you're an asshole. That's what I would have been like. We see that Scott is late to meet his ex-wife, Laura, and her psychiatrist husband, Dr. Neil Miller, who is...
It's played by Judge Reinhold.
I hate Neil in this movie so much. I know you're not supposed to. Yeah, you're supposed to hate him. But, like, he, if he didn't, like, call out Charlie and Scott for acting like this, half of the shit in this movie wouldn't have happened.
No, he's honestly...
He's definitely the bad guy, essentially.
His character's being very manipulative throughout the movie because he's pushing his views onto Laura,
Charlie,
and
Scott.
Scott, ultimately.
Like, essentially, he convinces Laura to give up visitation rights because he's crazy. How about you listen to him and talk to him for a minute? Like,
and also, he's... Everybody just goes along with what he says because he's a doctor.
Now you wonder why I don't want to see a therapist or a psychiatrist for my problems. Because I have these guys as role models.
Yeah.
Right?
I do feel that they do a really good job throughout this early section of the movie. Like, they set up Scott as he's an obviously an absent father. They make him... He's sort of self-centered.
He's kind of douchey. He's not a douchebag. Yeah. He's just douchey.
Well, he's a workaholic. He's someone who cares very much about his job and his success over his family.
Yeah, like, the son doesn't even want to be near him in the beginning. Like, no, I don't want to... Do I have to be here? Do I have to spend time with him?
But in that regard, they also make him sympathetic. Like you said, he doesn't... Like, his son doesn't really want to spend time with him. He's... His ex-wife is with a new guy who's, like, perceivably better than him.
Yeah.
And he feels threatened by that. So it's like you can kind of put yourself in his shoes and, like, all down to the things where it's like, oh, he has his son for Christmas Eve, but he fucking burns the turkey. They have to go to the restaurant. Daddy's. He feels like shit.
Yeah. Like, in that regard, it's like, well, when you're a divorced dad and you have visitation rights on certain holidays and weekends, like, I watched that and it's weird because it's like, and not just my dad, like other people's parents, you watch that and it's like without a wife or without a female, like, someone there, like, they don't know what to do sometimes. They're like, how do I do? And you see all the food on the table that is just absolutely burnt, and the whole house is, like, decorated almost like a museum art piece kind of thing with these fine art things. Like, there's no life in Scott's house.
Yeah.
And it's like, once he becomes Santa, there's a little more life breathed. There's a little more life that's breathed back into him and his surrounding life. Like, even the lighting's very sharp in the beginning. Yeah. I noticed in his I thought it was an apartment, but it's like a townhouse.
Sort of.
Like, in the beginning, I thought it was an apartment, but then, like, slowly it turns into, like, this nice two-story townhouse, which I'm like, they have to change the...
I don't think they did. I think the idea was, like, it to feel very cold and almost apartment-like at first.
Yeah.
But, like, once you see the night, everything starts to happen, like, they obviously go outside and it's a full house. You just see very little of it.
Yeah.
And that's probably just due to the budget. They probably just only wanted to show you a couple key areas.
Yeah. And it looks like the room Charlie was sleeping in, the room Scott's sleeping in, they just reangled the bed.
Yeah, they might have.
Ah, when Disney was broke. let's see. So after Scott burned the turkey, they end up at Denny's, where he is surrounded by other divorced and or single dads with their children.
I thought that was a nice touch.
That is a nice touch to, like, show you the only people that are out are pathetic male figures who have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, they've either done the same thing as him, they burned the turkey, or
they're just really absent kind of people who are like, cool, let's go do this. Like, the only thing you think of is Denny's, which I don't think Denny's are open on Christmas Eve.
I don't know for sure. I've never tried to go to a Denny's on fucking Christmas Eve.
The only place I've ever gone to is House of Wu. That's here. Christmas Eve. That's a Chinese place. Like, around here, Chinese places, you throw a rock, you will hit a Chinese place.
Yeah.
Or Asian places. They're literally everywhere.
A dime a dozen.
So, you know, if you live in California, you want really good Chinese food, American Chinese food, come to the East Coast. They're good here. Scott goes home with Charlie and he reads him The Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
I keep thinking, I'm like, no, that's a Halloween Christmas movie. That's The Nightmare Before Christmas, Leah. The Night Before Christmas. He reads the whole book and Charlie points out, like, oh, what does Rose Such a Clatter mean? Like, points out certain things that all the little things he's pointing out sets up jokes later.
Yes.
So when they hear the noises on the roof and Scott goes to investigate with Charlie, or tells Charlie to stay there. Charlie doesn't fucking listen to anything, by the way.
No.
Charlie is such a I'll do what I want independent 90s kid that I want to slap him every time. Like, sit the fuck down. Your dad said stay there. Half of this shit wouldn't have happened if you just stayed there. But obviously we all know that Scott was, it was destiny for him to become Santa Claus. It wasn't an accident. It was a destiny thing. You find out later in the other movies. So once he goes outside, he startles Santa Claus, falls down, picks up the suit. Boom, you are now Santa Claus. So here is Skinny.
Well, to be fair, he's kind of made to put on the suit.
Yeah. Because, you know,
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie makes him put on the suit and makes him do all this. But, you know, Scott just wants to be a good dad. Like, fine, I'll put on the suit. There, are you happy? Well, guess what? By doing that, you have a lifetime commitment. Good job, buddy. They get the suit. They go on the roof. They meet the reindeer. Comet is disgusting and hilarious. I am amused by fart jokes by Comet. It is funny. They only get worse in the other movies. And what drives me crazy is the other movies, there is sort of a new reindeer, and the voice they give him is, I'm not even kidding. Like, the newer movies, there's, like, a weird reindeer.
I feel like they, as the movies went on, which is one of the reasons I never watched the sequels, the budgets obviously got much lower. They were, like, just kind of making them to be pushed out on DVD.
Yeah.
This new one, I think, is possibly a...
I think it's got a bigger budget than this did.
Yeah, I think they're trying to bring it back to a bigger budget, but also fuel their Disney Plus fucking train.
Let's see. Now, the two of them are going around the world delivering presents. Obviously, there's a bunch of humor in here where he's yelling at a little girl to go to sleep. I'm lactose intolerant. Why are you asking me these questions? He's being the douchey kind of man that he is. And once they return, you know, back, he's like, oh, okay, we're done. Let's return home. They end up in the North Pole, where you meet Judy, Bernard, and all of the elves. We're anywhere between five. No, there was like a 3-year-old kid there at one point to, like, I would say 10. 10 years old, maybe 11. Like, they used a bunch of children. And as a child myself at that time, I went, why couldn't I have been an elf? I want to be an elf. Bernard explains that he is now Santa Claus. He's like, well, I don't want to be Santa Claus. I didn't agree to this. He goes, did you put on the suit? Yeah. Well, now you're Santa Claus. He's like, I don't understand. Do you have the card? It is Santa Claus is spelled with an E. And basically it says the Santa Claus is the exception of all Santa's duties and responsibilities bequeathed to the person who puts on the suit, whether by determining by fate or by accident. So basically it's a legality thing and it's hilarious. I thought it was funny when I was much older watching this, maybe my teens, that theme runs through the whole thing. Like, oh, did you turn the card behind the card? There's the Mrs. Claus, where you have to get married or you cannot continue to be Santa Claus because you have to have a Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
And then there's another one where with the third movie, like, oh, you have to meet with the other magical beings, like the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, Mother Earth. Like, you have to meet with all of these people once a year and kind of talk to them about what's going on in the world. And then, you know, Martin Short's character gets all, I'm going to take over kind of thing. And they all have to band together. Like, the premise of the things, I'm like, oh, okay, they're continuing the story. But like you said, they just kind of go down.
They're building the world.
Yeah.
Building the universe.
Which I liked the Mrs. Claus one. That was cute. I really did like that. Because I don't think that his ex-wife would have... fixed myself. I don't think his ex-wife would have made a good Mrs. Claus.
No.
Because, like I said, and no offense to anybody, she has always had a art dealer power lesbian look to me. Like, she will sue the pants off of you at any moment. No offense to the lesbians out there.
This is actually a good point to... I think I have a basic theory as to what's going to happen by the end of that series.
Oh, really? What do you think? Because I know the premise of the series.
I don't know anything about it other than the trailer that we watched. Mm. But I think, personally, especially knowing now that he's reprising his role, I think the ultimate goal of that series is for Tim Allen to pass the Santa Claus role to his son.
Honestly...
especially with the, like,
Charlie,
what he says in this movie.
Charlie's like, I'm gonna go into the family business, which makes sense because Charlie becomes like his tech help as he gets older. Mm. Because by the time the third movie comes out, Charlie at that point, who the actor is my age, was like just turned 20. He's 20 in that movie. Mm. And he's like, oh, I'm going to school for this and that. Like, he does a lot of the tech stuff, so he did go into the family business. But, oh, I have a bone to pick with this movie, by the way. I had an existential crisis during this movie, and Sean was like, you're fine. But we'll get there. And, like, I see it as... because the premise of the movie is Santa Claus... Scott Calvin turns 65 and realizes he's missing steps to being Santa Claus, and he can't do it forever. He's been doing it for 20 years. It might be time to pass the mantle, but he doesn't want to do what the other Santa Claus did and just let anybody else take it over. He wants to be the one to choose his successor. So I think that by the end, Charlie will take it over because Charlie is the same age that Scott is when he started being Santa Claus. Yeah. They said he's you're 38. I fucking died. I'm 37. Like, this movie came out when I was fucking 9. I went, like, I'm Scott Calvin's age now, almost, like, a year off. I'm sorry. But that's one thing that made me think, well, maybe Charlie will take it over. Maybe the next thing is, like, Charlie has to find a Mrs. Claus, you know. But I didn't know, reading the synopsis, Scott and his wife have another kid who was raised in the North Pole, was not raised in normal society. So all that kid knows is the Santa Claus life. And he's like, I want my children to have a life, a normal life. I want, you know, to grow old with, you know, my wife, with Holly. Her name's Holly Claus. Which I was like, Jesus Christ. But it's you can see where the premise of the movie is. Like, you got to be stupid if you don't realize exactly the movie is going to be or the show is going to be about. But I don't know. I also think that the sequel's unnecessary.
Oh, they're all unnecessary. Like, this would have been fine just being the one movie.
They didn't even leave it. Like, it's not open-ended for anything. They just left it, you know, at a nice point where they're delivering gifts. Like, they're roundabout back in the same time where they started.
It's very obvious that they continued making these movies because they made money.
It was huge. It made almost $200 million.
But like, I think it's also great that they took the time to make sure that they were well written.
Yeah.
Like, it all builds. It keeps adding to the overall main themes.
Because the last one was made in 2006 and it's 2022. So they had to have done this last year. So they had to have pitched it in like 2020. So, I mean, I can't stop yawning. Oh my God. So, I mean, like, as much as I love this movie, I don't know if I want to watch the limited series. One, I think Disney's milking all their popular stuff for everything because, you know, Disney has more money than God at this point.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, you've got Star Wars. You've got all of the Disney movies. They have Marvel. Like, guys, pump the brakes a little bit. I need an ease up on the shit that you put out.
But I also understand why they're doing it, because they launched Disney Plus. They have a streaming platform now where they're doing things on Disney Plus that, like, the other day I kind of really realized it. They're doing things on that platform that I have been in the back of my head screaming, why aren't all these other things or platforms or things doing these types of things? And I noticed that Disney Plus is doing them. So it's like with Star Wars, for example, they have all the movies out there. They have all the holiday specials. They have everything Star Wars, all these new series.
They're not, we're shunning this one. They put everything out.
But they're also putting out this other content, like,
Andor.
No, not even that. Like, I'm talking about, like, they have these random little series where it's like, oh, this is just a fly through of the ship. This is a...
Oh, what about the little thing we saw where it's just Grogu playing with the little Ghibli sprites? I was like, oh, this is
the
cute.
Animated things. They're doing...
They have the I Am Groot little shorts, too, for Marvel, too.
The behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah. The light magic. Yep. All of that. They're doing all these... exploring all these different avenues.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Something shifted. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
They're exploring all these different avenues for their properties. That it's like, why doesn't Netflix do this stuff? Why doesn't Amazon do this stuff? Why don't fucking YouTubers do this stuff? They have all the freedom in the world, but they never do it. Not a lot of them. Some of them do, but it drives me crazy. It's like, you have so much freedom. And so far, Disney Plus is the first one I'm seeing actually explore that.
I will say there are a couple of YouTubers.
And there are some.
There's only one YouTuber that comes to mind that is doing shit like that, and it's Markiplier.
Yeah.
With his In Space heist, Unus Honus.
Yeah.
Unus Honus ended 2 years ago when they just did their interview, their anniversary talk about it.
Right.
And it was Markiplier on his channel, Ethan on his channel, Crank Gameplays, and it was an interview between the two of them. You had to watch them separately.
And to be fair, I want to, you know, make mention that it's not... So a lot of it comes down to just the amount of time, especially for YouTubers. Like, you only have so much time. If you're huge, like somebody like Disney or Netflix, or you have all the time and crews and resources at your disposal, fucking utilize it. If I could, like, if some of these YouTubers could, they probably would do more.
I would love if they did. Mike Flanagan, who does, you know, The House on Haunting Hill, Bly Manor. I would have loved behind the scenes for that.
Yeah.
To see how they did some of that, to have, you know, seeing little clips like that, to see interviews with the cast. I would love a behind the scenes of the Haunting of Hill House with that single shot from the funeral home of Nell's funeral. That episode alone was honestly, it's one of the best things Netflix ever put out, in my opinion. But that would intrigue me to know how they did it, how everybody felt, how many takes it took. I want to know these details. Some people, I know they don't give a shit. But how intriguing is it after every movie or series we watch of Marvel, there's the behind the scenes released the same day and we're like, oh, we got to watch the behind the scenes. And it's interesting to see all I remember is the Hawkeye one. Yeah, Hawkeye guy.
The Hawkeye guy.
We watched that immediately after we finished the series because I was like, I'm going to hate Hawkeye. I'm not going to like it.
We basically loved it for all the Marvel stuff. We watched their, what the hell is it called? They have a whole series dedicated to it. Assembled,
yeah. It's amazing. And I love the fact that they're giving us these little tidbits, these little sneak peeks. We have not seen, it's an advertisement for right there. We have not seen Wakanda Forever yet.
We're still making one shots.
Yeah.
They're rare now, but they're making
still doing them.
Like, they're exploring the different avenues. Like, you have the freedom, utilize it.
Or this thing where Chris Hemsworth is now in his own series where he's going to places around the world.
Yeah.
Utilize the actors you have. Oh, okay, we've got Chris, we've got other Chris, we've got Robert. Like, let's utilize them.
Yep.
They don't want to continue doing these parts. They're done playing these parts. Some of them have been playing them for almost a decade and a half now.
Yeah.
Almost two decades at this point, because I think, Iron Man came out, early 2000s?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact year.
Like, but... I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
While Disney is pumping out material, I think they're doing something right.
I do.
That's why Netflix is losing subscribers. That's why they're losing money. Sure, you put out Stranger Things. You put out this huge thing. Do they realize when everybody's done with Stranger Things after season 5? That's it? I don't think anybody's really going to have it.
No. I do think we're getting very off topic. I think we got to get back to the movie.
Nah, I think we're fine. We're talking about what Disney Plus is doing, and this is a Disney movie. And yeah. So I think let's go back. I think you are right. It is setting it up for Charlie to take over. And if Charlie doesn't take over, I'll be very shocked. I will be very, very shocked if it's not Charlie. Because Charlie loves his dad. Well, he doesn't like his dad right now. So once they get to the North Pole, he learns all about what Santa does, what they have to get done. And the movie is very straightforward from here to the end. And it's not a movie that we have to go completely step by step. Bernard says that tells Scott he has 11 months to get everything in order and he has to be back there by Thanksgiving to start getting ready. Scott pretty much is like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to drink my cocoa, then I'm going to go to bed. He wakes up in his own bed. It's Christmas morning. Charlie's like, oh, we went to the North Pole and Santa came to his mom. And she starts getting a little worried because, you know, yesterday you didn't believe. Today you believe.
Previously they discussed, like, not pushing
the Santa issue.
Because Neil didn't agree with it and neither did she really.
But that's another thing that I get really upset with this movie. There's no proper co-parenting. And I know co-parenting really is a newer concept that's come up. But I think co-parenting is the smartest thing. Like, I don't agree with staying married for the kids. I don't agree with getting married for your children.
No, because your disdain for each other is going to affect them.
And you know what? It does. Not going to lie. It does. You don't like the other person. Your children watch everything. I'm going to say it louder for the people in the back. Your children pay attention to fucking everything, guys.
Yeah.
Do not stay together for your children, because you are souring their perception of the other person. If you start to say bad things about one partner, it gets back to the other partner, and it just builds this disdain. Co-parenting, I believe, is the smartest thing to do. Say that the two of you could not get along. The two of you did not, you know, being married to mom or being married to dad didn't work. So now we are friends, but we're always going to be supportive and there for you and your siblings.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with co-parenting. That's where this pisses me off. There's no co-parenting. It's like they hate each other. They know they hate each other. You know Scott hates Neil.
Yeah.
And it's leeching onto Charlie. Charlie starts to not like his dad because it's influence from his mother and stepfather.
Do you really like this film's approach? It utilizes a very realistic idea of psychoanalysis.
Yes.
Toward the situation of Santa and elves and magic being real and all that. So, like, we're experiencing it with Charlie and Scott.
Like, we know it's real.
But when Charlie goes around talking about it and all these, like, that all these things are real, the adults approach it as mental illness.
And the kids approach it as, you're stupid. Like, you see Charlie being treated differently, but it's like, but you in your mind are like, but it's the truth. And then you in your brain, in your reality brain, are like, is this one of the reasons why children are bullied in like elementary school?
Yeah.
Like, I stopped believing very young, and my parents were like, do not ruin it for other children.
Right.
My parents did the Santa Claus thing right. You know, to the point where I played the Easter Bunny one year at my mom's corporate gig when I was in my 20s. And my brother and sister believed I was the Easter Bunny, and I did not tell them I was the Easter Bunny. I told them when they were in their 20s, and they were shocked. They were like, wait, you were that Easter Bunny? I was like, yes, I was. How come you didn't tell us sooner? Because you don't ruin the effect for children.
Yeah.
And the fact that Neil is psychoanalyzing this kid this young, it's like, will you let the kid just be a freaking kid?
Yeah, and it's all because he stopped believing very young. So it's like he feels that everybody should be desensitized. And it's like, that's not...
That is the people that ruin shit.
Well, that's like me saying, like, every kid in the world should be watching fucking violent horror movies at 3 years old. Just because that's how I grew up doesn't mean that every kid should grow up the same way.
And you didn't grow up maliciously.
No, I didn't.
It was one of those things where they liked it. They wanted to show you, and you showed an appreciation for it.
Yeah.
Flipped my side. My parents wouldn't show me that, but my parents showed me music. My parents showed me the things that they love. So our parents do influence what we like. But our parents did it right. Like, having your parents be like, you can't do that, you can't do that. You would have chosen a more malicious way to view that and to do that. You know, when my parents found out I was drinking at a young age, it didn't end up in a fight, in a huge thing. It ended up in like, don't get mad at my parents, like, ever, people. It was the late 90s, early 2000s. Calm down. It was a different time 20 years ago. Like, if you're going to do it in the house, let me know about it. It was a parenting thing. It was a, look, what you're doing is wrong, but if you do it with me, maybe it'll solve things in the future.
Yeah.
It's the same thing where these people are like, children shouldn't be doing that. You can't do that. Don't do that. Kids are going to find a way to do it. They're always going to find a way. And when Charlie is being pushed, no, you can't believe in Santa Claus, don't believe in Santa Claus, he believes harder.
Yeah.
And then there's the unfortunate, what his parents think, delusion of Scott literally turning into Santa Claus. They literally pull rights away from Scott.
Yeah.
But Scott is sitting there like, well, I'm not telling you my aunts. I'm trying to deter. I'm trying to solve this. Like.
But then at the same time, I'm dealing with this physical change that I can't control.
I can't do anything.
And I think that's what I like most about this movie. I think it's very well written, and it tackles everything from a dark but very realistic viewpoint. Like, this is what would happen if you introduce magic, Santa, elves, all that into our reality.
That's why I believe if there truly is magic and fantasy and all that, it stays hidden.
Yeah.
A lot of people will basically go on a witch hunt for this stuff. So if there really is magic, if there really is monsters, demons, all of this stuff, stay hidden.
Yeah.
The world is nowhere near ready for this shit. So if Santa Claus really is real, and these kids that believe in him, let them believe.
Yeah.
Like, I still at this age want to believe that Santa is real. I really do. Because he's like this embodiment of innocence. Even when Scott goes through the changes of being Scott to being Santa, it's this innocence that he gains back to where I feel like he becomes a whole person again, where he gains what he was missing in the beginning when he was kind of douchey.
Yeah. I have a slight problem, though.
Uh-oh.
With the logic of this movie.
All right.
Just a small one.
Lay it on.
And it's such a minute thing, but you'd think that with all the magic stuff, with making fireplaces appear where there isn't one, reindeer, elves, all these different elements, you think there would be also a magical element that kept everyone either asleep while Santa does his thing or kept his actions silent from everyone in the house.
I think that comes with learning, practice. I think Scott, as he gets like more seasoned, he'll get better. His first run through, he was bumbly. He didn't know what he was doing. By the next time, he got better and better. So maybe as the seasonal, like you're a seasoned Santa now. Maybe in 5 years he's silent. Nobody
knows
he's there.
Yeah, I haven't seen the other movies. I don't really know.
This is hypothetical.
Just based off of his first run through, obviously was bumbling.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of noise. He almost got shot.
Of course.
The second time we see him run through, when he's actually embraced the Santa role, he still gets caught by the police. Like, you'd think there would be something.
That they were waiting. So have you ever waited up for Santa?
No.
Okay. I did when I was a kid. I would always try and sneak and wait for Santa. This is how I learned it wasn't Santa Claus. I came down the stairs and I saw my dad putting the presents under the tree and I was mortified, but I never told my parents. I just kind of...
Surprise.
Yeah, I embraced the fact that Santa Claus wasn't a real person. It was like the spirit of the holiday kind of thing. But if you think about that, like, you wait up for Santa. You're like, oh, I want Santa. Like, I forget where I was going with this. Fuck. Help me. Oh, my God. Fucking train wrecked. My brain just went... Poof. Oh, and the other thing. What if as he's, like, gotten used to being Santa, Charlie's helped him with better technology to be quiet, like muffle his sound, like
stuff
like that. Yeah.
In the world of this movie, that makes sense. Yeah.
But in the real world, like, we have no pipes in this house leading to our apartment. We have a cubby. Does Santa come through the cubby?
Have to climb through the fucking window.
Oh my God. Good luck with the cats. So jumping around, like, at this point, Charlie believes that Santa's real. Scott's going through gaining weight. Growing a beard, getting bushier long hair. Like, he goes from being a 38-year-old dude to looking like a 60-year-old grandpa within the span of, I would say, 3 or 4 months. To the point where it's in the middle of summer. There's a soccer practice for Charlie. And kids are lining up in the middle of the summer to sit on Santa's lap. And that's when they pull visitation rights from him because she thinks that he's creating this delusion to get Charlie to love him more. And that's one thing I didn't agree with. I was like, I hate that scene because the minute she's like, I cannot believe you'd stoop so low as to change your physical appearance to get your son to like you. Wouldn't you want to go have him go from the douchey kind of dad who doesn't pay attention to a dad that cares?
You would, but they're only looking at it from a psychological effect standpoint. Like, you're trying to trick your son into believing that you're something that you're not in order to make him like you. And it's like, I understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, like, you're on the side of Scott because this is his story.
I mean, I'm only on Laura and Neil's side for a very small amount of time, because when Scott says this has to be our secret, do not tell anybody, I agree with Scott on that point. Yes, I can be Santa Claus. You can believe in me as Santa Claus, but you have to not tell anybody. For the good of you, for the good of your own psyche, because other people, kids are mean, adults are judgmental. Even his mom and his stepdad are judgmental. They're judging him based on his beliefs. And I hate that about Laura. Like, when that scene happens, I get so fuming. I'm like, if I was Laura, I'd be like, is this doing any harm to Charlie? Is it harming him? Like, I hate Neil so much. And I guess that's the point of Neil. You even said, like, he's written to be hated. He literally is the main protagonist. And the protagonist, which one's the bad one? He's the villain of the story, basically.
Antagonist.
Like, Scott is his own villain, but Neil is also a villain too, as well. There's no real villain other than, you know, people's perception. Like, the judgment of other people. It isn't until Scott actually embraces, like, he embraces himself as Santa. He loses Charlie. Like, they take visitation rights away from him.
Yeah.
He has to go to the North Pole to get ready. Like, that's when he starts embracing, like, okay, I'm this person and I'm going to do the best job I can. And then the whole thing changes and everybody changes their mind when, like, oh my God, you really are him. And I'm like, you know what? You don't, I'm selfish in the way of, I want to look at them and be like, you don't get to enjoy this. Like, you don't deserve to enjoy the fact that I am Santa. You don't. You should sit there and be like, I'm so sorry. Like, she does, but Neil never really does that.
No, but at the same time, it's showing you that he's beyond that.
Maybe I'm, like, just petty.
But yeah, I think the point is that, like, he is Santa. He's forgiving. He's, like, no matter what you've done.
Fuck him up, Santa. You should have gotten that total tank and taken him out.
Yeah, you deserve to be, like, you deserve to have the happiness that everyone else does. And I think that's a better message to get across.
Of course.
Like, he could have been petty.
He really honestly could have been petty, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel that shows now, if this was remade and came out now, it would be a little more petty. It wouldn't be as nurturing, dare I say.
Yeah.
I think it came out in the right time. So, by the end, Scott pretty much becomes Santa. He goes around the world delivering presents. Unfortunately, he kidnaps or takes Charlie, and Laura, the mom, calls the police, and there is a manhunt for Santa. So Charlie and Santa, not knowing what's happening, takes Charlie back to the Millers to drop off gifts, and the police show up and arrest Santa. And everybody's like, why are you taking Santa? What's wrong? What's happening? Like, even, like, Laura's questioning, like, did we do the right thing? They're looking for Charlie, but it's like, did we do the right thing arresting him? Like, what is happening? So then there is the most ridiculous scene in the whole movie, which is the elves.
The prison break
with tinsel and elves, with the we're your worst nightmare. You're elves with sparkly cheeks.
If you've never seen this, this is like an elf tactical squad with jetpacks and fucking all kinds of weird
sashes,
gadgets
or ribbons coming out of, like, a thing on their belt where they tie the cop up. Did you notice the cop is a stereotypical fat cop that's balding eating a donut? And
yes.
I was like, oh my God, when is this stereotype going to go away? This is so bad.
It's never going to leave.
Never. They break him out of jail. They get him back to the sleigh. Laura realizes that Scott is Santa, like looking at him like it's the magic is completely there. She's enthralled. As a Christmas present, she gets rid of the full custody papers and said, you can visit him whenever. Like, we don't need visitations anymore. Neil starts believing, but Bernard takes his sandwich and makes him have a psychiatric freak out, which is hilarious. Which I have to say, if anybody's seen that scene where Bernard is walking around with the pita with like what looks like alfalfa sprouts in the sandwich, I have wanted that sandwich since I was a child. I am assuming, look, I told you this and you thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. I think that is like a turkey sandwich with stuffing and like alfalfa sprouts and like gravy and stuff. It's like a Thanksgiving Christmas sandwich, and I've tried to recreate it and I can't. I have not had any luck with the alfalfa sprouts. It tastes terrible. So I'm thinking they just went to Kraft Services and just put shit in a pita pocket and walked around.
They probably did,
and they have ruined my life for 20 years because I want to know what's in that sandwich, and I've been craving that sandwich for years, and all I know is it's just a pita pocket. You're making a weird face. What's the weird face for?
I found a couple more fun facts that I think are very interesting.
Facts. What is Sean?
So we talked about the fact that Bill Murray was considered for, or the role was written for him.
For Bill Murray, yeah.
But there was many other names on the list for consideration.
Oh, give me the names.
Robin Williams.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I could have seen Tom Hanks in this.
Chevy Chase.
Ooh, no.
That would have been terrible.
No.
John Ritter.
Okay.
Who was also in consideration for Neil.
John Ritter would have been cool in
that
role.
He would have played that well.
I think Judd does better.
Kurt Russell, who went on to play Santa Claus later.
No.
Tom Selleck.
Sexy Santa? What?
John Travolta.
Hey, yo, I'm Santa Claus.
I'm Santa. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Sandy.
Rowan Atkinson.
No.
Mike Myers.
Who the fuck's Mike Myers?
Austin Powers.
Oh, they said Byers, not Myers.
Myers.
Oh, no.
Michael Keaton.
But he's Batman, not Santa.
He's also Jack Frost.
Now you made me sad we had to watch that pile of dog shit.
And Harrison Ford.
Ooh. I could have had actual sexy Santa.
Could have.
Ooh. I would have.
Didn't happen.
Ooh, I would have had that poster on my wall. The Santa Claus.
And a fun little tidbit. Do you know who Michael McCrudden is?
No. Should I look him up?
No.
No?
He's a YouTuber who made his acting debut in this movie. He plays the random kid that rides the bike past Scott he puts him on the nice list. Remember the one kid goes by, he's like,
yeah,
naughty. And then the other kid goes by, he says, nice. Thought that was kind of funny.
So this was way before he was a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah, he was 7. Back to the movie.
Fun facts with Sean is over. I was thinking about that. Should we make little jingles and put them in next year's? Maybe get one of those little decks where we can be like, beep, 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 beep. Oh, speaking of, I didn't open it yet. You guys might have heard last week that...
You can't just use this shit all willy-nilly.
Why not? Yes, I can! Thank you to... Who's the reason I have this? Is it none other than our boy, Peter McKinnon? What's up, everybody? I bet Peter McKinnon's never been mentioned in a movie podcast before.
Probably not.
He had the hype button on his desk, so everybody knows. And he just kept going, beer, beer, beer. And then his editor goes, I have the app. And I went, there's an app? Downloaded it instantly. Sean regrets that episode to this moment. His face is just like, I want to die. So where were we? They break him out of jail. He goes back to being Santa. At the end, when he's passing by the house, he gives Neil his Oscar Mayer weenie whistle that he wanted when he was 3. He didn't get it, so he stopped believing in Santa. Weak, Neil. Very weak.
All because of an Oscar Mayer weenie whistle. All because of
he just wanted to put his mouth on a weenie.
Gay.
That was terrible. It was so bad. I said it because he is a weenie. And then Laura gets the, what the fuck game was it? Oh, like, it's like a dating game from the 60s or 70s. Like Data Boy or?
No, it was.
All it says is Scott gives Laura and Neil the 2 Christmas presents that they never got as children, which had caused their disbelief. Charlie also like gets the snow globe from Bernard, which is like, oh, you can see your dad at any time. I hate the scene where Charlie's like shaking the snow globe going, I want to see my dad. And he shows back up going, I've been gone 10 minutes, dude. 10 minutes. You impatient little fuck.
Well, to be fair, he just, you know, he's excited that his dad's Santa.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, give the man a break. He has to deliver to all the kids in the world. Sit your ass down. You get him tomorrow. Let the other kids have him for one night. God. And that pretty much ends the movie. They don't even set it up for like a sequel. It just ends with him and Charlie flying off delivering presents to kids.
Yeah.
Which I think was a great way to end it because it didn't need the sequels.
No.
It really didn't. I think the Mrs. Claus thing is cute for the second one. The third one, I've seen it. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. I'm so sorry. I do think it's a dumb movie. But we do have this one on VHS. We did not watch it on VHS. We watched it on Disney Plus. We found this and a shit ton of other movies. We got a good haul that day.
Yeah.
Of movies. So we do have this one on original regular VHS. We don't have a clamshell of this one. I think the clamshell was a newer development because I had the clamshell years ago. But I think we have the original first run of the movie when it came out in 95 on VHS, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
To own this one because now, next Christmas, or even Christmas this year, I will have Sean digitize it and I'll watch it on the little black
fun
and white.
Fun fact, I already did.
Well, yeah, because we thought we were going to need to use it because we didn't know this was on it. When we were talking about this movie, it wasn't on Disney Plus yet.
No.
If I remember, and then all of a sudden they came out with, oh, it's going to Disney Plus, and we're like, oh, okay, we don't need to watch it digitized. Because we planned this one, what, August? We were in the middle of the summer when we were planning Christmas stuff, so.
Yeah.
But that brings my discussion of this to a close. Do you have any opinions on this movie?
I don't. I think we can move on. Oh, actually, no.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No. I think we can move on to closing questions.
Okay.
Final overall thoughts about the film.
I love this movie. I'm not a Christmas person. As you heard, I am a big blubbering mess when it comes to Christmas. I am emotionally torn on how I feel of this holiday. But when I watch this movie, I get a little bit in the spirit. And that's why I wanted to wait for this one as long as possible. Because, to be honest, when we're recording this, Thanksgiving's this week. And I'm okay. I'm a little laxed on when we get closer to Thanksgiving. Christmas is fine. You can do Christmas stuff. So I'm a little more into the maybe I won't be as Grinchy or Bah Humbug Scroogey about Christmas this year. Maybe we should give it a chance, sweetie. Seeing as how you have red hair. He's just blinking at me. Blink 3 times if you want to run away. But I do love this movie, and I think this is definitely one of those movies that I'm always going to watch around Christmas time. I'm always going to be sad watching it, but it's always going to put me into a little bit of the spirit. So I always say. What about you?
No, I. So like I said, I hadn't seen this since I was a kid. Watching it now, I definitely developed a new appreciation for what they were, what they did with this story.
It was layers.
It has a lot of layers, and it's very dark in a lot of ways. Like, it has a lot of harsh reality to it, which I appreciate, because most of these Christmas movies are just
Hallmark.
Everything's
Christmas
Hallmarky
fluff.
And sugar-coated, and everything's fine and dandy all the time.
We don't like sugar-coated things in this house, because if it's sugar-coated, we'll just eat it because we're fat.
Yeah, I just didn't. I don't know.
You avoided that one like the plague.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't really like those, that Hallmarky style movie.
No.
I like some darkness in my movies. I like the harsh realities.
And that's why I'm happy we did this one. Because this is not, this doesn't make me feel good.
No.
This makes me, this is the reality of the 90s. This is your parents work hard. When you're going through a divorce, or you have divorced parents, life sucks. You have to make decisions and choices at a young age. You have to, like, put up with other people's opinions that you didn't fucking ask for, you know? So, yeah.
Did you have any favorites?
I love when Bernard yells at Scott. Try to understand! I love that. Because it's like this thousands of year old elf that looks like a child is telling your white ass to sit the fuck down and shut up. You put the thing on. You didn't read the card. Not my problem. Get your act together. You're doing this. I love it.
Yeah, I kind of mirror that. I just like Bernard's character.
I love that actor.
He's like this. And he carries this throughout all of his roles.
Yes.
But he has this, like, whether he's young or not, like, he has this, like, weariness, this world weariness about him, where he's somewhat crotchety. From, like, knowing more than everybody around him. I like it. I like that performance. I like the idea of the character. He's like this old elf, but it doesn't seem like he's that old. He's bigger than all the other elves. Yep. Like, so you get some semblance that he's like the superior.
He is an older elf. Like, ooh, okay.
It's cool. I don't know. I've just always liked him. I don't have any specific lines or anything, though.
No, it's when he screams, try to understand. Yeah. And you're like, and you just see Tim Allen's face go, whoa. And he doesn't fight him because he has this.
He's an authority.
He does. He has this vocal thing where it's like, no, you will. Like, instantly Tim Allen's care, like that. He plays it off well, like, oh, okay, I'll listen.
Does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, it works. It works because, in my opinion, in the 90s, you needed a little harshness to stuff. Like, we got Jingle All the Way, which, you know, is a harsh movie too as well.
For a different reason.
But like a lot of the timeless classic movies that we love from our childhood are not sugar-coated. They are black and white in your face. Like, things were not good. Here's why.
Yeah.
But we're still going to throw the Christmas spirit. We're still going to try and teach you that things can still turn out well. How about you?
I think it works. Surprisingly, I didn't think it was gonna.
No.
But I think that's because I don't remember it as being as realistic as it is. Yeah, I think it works better than I thought it was going to. Would you recommend it?
I would wholeheartedly recommend it to people who do love and hate Christmas. I think it's definitely one of those movies that, like, when people are like, oh, let's watch a Christmas movie. I want to watch Santa Claus. Well, why? Because it's the realest of Christmas movies to me. I don't want to watch The Grinch. I don't want to watch Miracle on 34th Street. I don't want to watch a Hallmark movie. I want to watch a real movie. I want to watch something like this. I want to watch Gremlins. I think that's a better Christmas movie. But that's for another day.
Yes.
What about you?
I would recommend it. I think it's, it has a lot of heart. It's got a lot of hope built in. But it's also, it doesn't shy away from the reality. Like, I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
With Christmas movies, you don't often get that. Like, this one tries to give you both magic and reality.
Yeah.
And it pits them against each other, and it does it really, really well. Which is surprising to say from a Tim Allen movie. Most of the time, Tim Allen's stuff is not all that great.
Yeah.
This one is pretty solid.
It's kind of funny that this was his first role, and it's like the only movie role that I really remember and enjoy from him. Like, there's Toy Story.
Yeah.
But I don't go to Toy Story. No. I don't think about Toy Story. Honestly, I hate Toy Story.
I can't say I hate it, but it's not.
I hate it because I think Sid is the worst character they've ever created.
What's the point?
Like, that movie still gives me nightmares to this day. I know I'm a weirdo. What do you want?
How would you make this today?
I wouldn't. They're already continuing. Yeah, they're still making them. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, there's no need. They're still making sequels, even though I don't think they wanted to initially.
No, but
and this one goes without saying, mainstream. It's mainstream. It's definitely not exploitation or anything like that. But I do have one other question for you.
Ooh.
Having sat through all of this, having sat through this again and viewed it through adult eyes, do you believe in Santa?
There is more bad in the world, more negative in the world than anybody wants. I believe there is a Santa Claus. Because without believing in some magic, it would make living in the world a lot more painful. So I believe in Santa Claus. I'm a 37-year-old woman. And I believe there's a fat man with a bunch of reindeer riding around on a sleigh one night a year. Do I track Santa Claus on Christmas Eve secretly? Absolutely. Do I wish I was a kid for presents? Absolutely. Even if it's not really real, I believe in the point. I hate Christmas. My friends can laugh at me all they want. I do. I have my reasons. And then... But I do believe... And once Thanksgiving's over and I see a lot more Christmas stuff, like right now I go, ugh, to the Christmas things. But then something inside me just, I get this really weird, warm, fuzzy feeling and I wish to God I didn't hate it as much. But yeah, if you're out there, big man, I still believe in you. I'm such a baby. What about you? Do you believe in Santa?
So, as the person that I am, I, in the physical man, no. But like you, I believe in the representation.
Yeah.
I believe in what Santa should be if he were to be a real person. I believe in the idea of what he stands for, like bringing people together, giving, just the celebration of the season, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm.
I don't like Christmas. I never really have. And part of it is just the core aesthetic. Part of it comes from where it stems from. A big part of it is because of what we as a society have turned it into.
It's too commercialized.
Just the commercial consumerism aspect, that how it turns people into fucking monsters.
People are already fucking crazy.
I
know.
And I don't like it.
No.
I never have and I never will. Plus, it's the antithesis of Halloween, which is my favorite fucking holiday. But I do, as someone who I do genuinely care about people, like the people in my life, and I wish that the people in my life, the majority of the people in my life, let's say, I wish that they approached things closer to that ideal of, you know, what Santa should be, what the ideal of the Christmas holiday that everybody talks about but never implements. And that drives me crazy. It feeds into why I don't like Christmas, because it's like you talk the talk,
but you don't walk the walk.
No, and yeah. I hate it. So, yeah, I guess in a way I do.
So, before we close this one out, I just want to say that this is being released the week of Christmas. And I know that Christmas is like on a Sunday, so it's like a week before.
Yeah, it's gonna be a weird one.
We have a weird Christmas happening, but to everybody, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Hug your family, hug your friends. Please don't forget what this season really means. I'm kind of remembering that my baby sister and my dad will be here for Christmas, so I'm really excited about that. I haven't seen my dad in like 2 years now, and this has not been a good year for me mentally. I lost a friend and went through a surgery that, as of right now, I'm still fucking recovering from. I've lost mobility. My illnesses are getting worse, guys. Not sugarcoating it. Not. This has been a really tough year. But if there's one thing I could wish on everybody is remember what Christmas is for. It's not about presents. It's not about, you know, making sure you have everything. It's not about being perfect. My ideal Christmas is waking up to snow, seeing the lights, burning the cinnamon rolls, you know, laughing, joking, having fun with friends and family. Like, remember that life is not sunshine and fucking rainbows. And if you're trying your hardest and you're just trying, that's good enough. So happy holidays, everybody. I'm gonna go stand outside and maybe get cold. Maybe I'll stop crying.
Well, I think that brings our discussion of the Santa Claus to an end.
Thank God, I can't cry anymore.
But don't go anywhere just yet. Please stay tuned for the coming attractions.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And now, on with the show.
What? What was the coming attraction?
Well, as you just heard, we didn't have a trailer for next week, because next week, to cap off the year, we are doing something a little bit different, but I think that'll be just as fun.
Yeah, when we were deciding the movies for this, for the end of the year, like I said in the last podcast, we could not figure out what a good movie to end the year was. We couldn't, because it's a whole year. We started this about 13 months ago. We started this in October of 2021 with an idea, and we bought the mics, and then you have the program already because you work for a company that does podcasts. So it was just kind of like, oh, let's see how far we get, and here we are a year. So for our final episode,
We are going to recap all of the movies that we've discussed. We might have top movies. We might have movies that we didn't like. We'll ask each other questions. Honestly, we really don't 100% know right now.
No, I think the idea, it'll be a little bit of a review. Like, we'll be talking a little bit about each of the movies we covered, maybe kind of thinking, how do we feel about them now, year later?
I do want to reflect on some movies, because some of them we loved. And then, as you and I have discussed, like, later on, a couple weeks, a couple months later, we're like, I really didn't like that film, or shit, I did love that film.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, The Santa Claus and, you know, Jack Frost, we just did those. So, like, yeah, those ones really aren't going to change.
No, we'll still talk a little bit about them, but I think it'll be a fun way to kind of close things out.
Yeah.
Just doing a recap of this year.
Yeah, I think this will become a yearly thing. I think we'll talk about, at the end of the year, talk about the movies that we've looked at. Ask favorites. Favorite line overall. I mean, there's a couple lines that I still, like, chuckle in my fucking head months later. Like, you know, which movies do we think were great? Which movies did we, like, regret doing? And there are a couple I regret doing, and they were movies I picked. We've also grown a lot in this podcast. Now we have a format. Now we kind of know what we're doing. And going into next year, we're going to touch a little bit more. But next year, the movie picking's going to be different.
Yes. Next year, we'll talk about it more in the last episode. But next year, I think we have a direct focus that we're going to try to strive for. And hopefully it'll go well.
And we're going to pick all of the movies right then and there to make sure we don't fuck up the calendar. Because let me tell you, we fucked up 4th of July and September a couple of times.
Oh, we fucked up so much this year.
So bad a couple of times that we were like, we're out of them. We have to record now.
We now keep them all written down on a calendar. Yep. We have everything scheduled. So,
well, sweetie, darling, light of my life, I don't want to end this podcast, but I think we're going to have to bash its brains in.
All right. Well, if you want to keep up with everything that we're doing, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Grindhouse Podcast. We're on Twitter at Grindhouse Cast. Find us on Discord, where you can chat with Leah about this film or any of the films we previously covered. You can suggest us new movies if you want. All the links for everything are going to be down in the description. All the links for everything are going to be down in the show notes. Listen to us every Monday morning. Give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your morning fix. If you like what we're doing and you want to support the show, you can subscribe to us on Patreon or directly through Acast, where you can get yourself access to ad-free listening or unlock some fun exclusive bonus content that we are slowly putting together and uploading. First two episodes are already out.
But it's there. Things you guys haven't heard. You can only hear it if you're Patreons or you're subscribed to Acast.
And honestly, anyone willing to check that stuff out and help support the channel, we greatly appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it.
But until next week, I'm Sean.
I'm Leah.
Thanks for listening.
He hates me.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays. Woo!
Definitely not recommended for the squeamish.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.